5:30. The Nasdaq's up 16, the S&P up 3 points. I'm Grace Thomas with the Dow Jones Money Report.
Your America, the way it ought to be. Real liberals on radio, serious left, 146.
AP Radio News. Donick, new at the United Nations, Iran's foreign minister tells the AP nuclear talks are on track and a negotiated solution is possible. The foreign minister says a third meeting is expected very soon. He didn't say when or where it will be held. The government is going to start easing restrictions on liquids on carry-on luggage.
While the liquid ban stays generally in effect for good and valid security reasons, TSA is making some changes to keep us at a high level of security but make it a little bit easier for passengers.
Kip Hawley at the Transportation Security Administration says liquids bought after going through security checkpoints are okay. Travel expert Terry Tripler at CheapSeats.com says starting tomorrow, there'll be some confusion and backups at the airport.
Now that the requirements have been relaxed, your people are going to arrive at the security checkpoints, and then they're going to have to start fumbling through their carry-on and try to find their Ziploc bag.
There is another recall connected to E. coli cases involving bagged spinach.
This has to do with a Seattle company that's recalling some salad products distributed in the Pacific Northwest. They may contain fresh spinach that may have been tainted with E. coli bacteria. The Food and Drug Administration says the Triple B Corporation is recalling salad greens with spinach packed in hard boxes. Those salad greens were intended for store shelves in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. Rita Foley, Washington.
R.J. Reynolds and other cigarette makers are planning to appeal a decision by a federal judge in New York.
Tens of millions of smokers of light cigarettes can now sue tobacco companies over what they say are misleading ads. A federal judge in New York ruled in favor of the class action lawsuit today.
Correspondent Julie Walker reports this has the potential of becoming a $200 billion case. In East St. Louis, Illinois, a psychiatric exam is being ordered for Tiffany Hall. She's the woman accused of killing a pregnant acquaintance and cutting her fetus from the womb. The Dow is up 57 points. This is AP Radio News. President Bush is supporting a business group that's trying to help with the reconstruction in Lebanon.
Groups headed by Cisco CEO John Chambers and aims to match private donations with government investment to help Lebanon get back on its feet after the devastating war between Israel and Hezbollah. Posing for pictures with the group, the president said its mission sends an important message.
We care about you. We want you to live in a free society. We've got great hopes for you.
Administration critics say it'll take more than a business delegation to repair the damage done to America's image among the Lebanese by U.S. backing for Israel in the conflict. Mark Smith at the White House.
There's a battle over the surf between Huntington Beach and Santa Cruz, California. Both communities are fighting over which can be called Surf City USA. Huntington Beach lawyers gave a Santa Cruz shop until last Friday to stop selling Surf City USA t-shirts. There's a huge demand for the now banned shirts. Ed Donahue, AP Radio News.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that different. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-335-7600. That's 1-800-335-7600. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
So, Bob, nice car.
Yep, it sure is.
Win the lottery?
Nope.
Ah, you stole while you worked here.
Nah.
Get a new job?
Job? Not really.
Don't tell me you're your own boss now.
Yep.
You're making $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month?
Uh-huh.
How did you do it?
Well...
Not on your own. You had help.
Yep.
Who helped you? Your mommy?
Nope.
Your brother?
No, you did.
I did? Wait a minute. Don't tell me you got Bruce A. Berman's book and CD.
Sure did.
That Bruce A. Berman is making everybody rich.
Everybody but you. You should buy his book and CD now.
Thanks, Bob. This is Bruce Berman. If you want to make $5, $10, even $15,000 a month right now from the comfort of your own home, then you don't have to buy my book. I will give you a free copy of my book and my Making Money CD. That's over $100 value. This limited time free offer is available only on my website, 6bruce.com. That's the number 6bruce.com. That's the number 6bruce.com. You can be making money within 30 days, guaranteed. So log on to 6bruce.com now.
Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
Hey, Bill Bailey.
Hey, Bill Clinton.
Somebody's calling.
Who?
Well, your lady friend, that's who. If I were you, I'd get my little old self home. Won't you come home, Bill Bailey?
No, Bill Clinton.
She moans the whole day long.
That's right. Come home, Bill Clinton.
I'll do the cooking, honey.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pay the rent.
Yes, Bill Clinton.
I know I've done you wrong.
We did.
Remember that rainy evening I drove you out with nothing but a fine tooth comb. Home. Yeah, I know I'm the rainman. Ain't it a shame? Baby, won't you please come on?
Oh, Bill Clinton. Oh, oh, Bill Clinton. Come on. Come on. I never heard that. That's Bobby Darin. Was that the most fabulous thing you ever heard yesterday in your whole entire life? Was that amazing? The story went up on Drudge, I guess Saturday, because Fox was promoting it. Oh, God, oh, Bill Clinton goes insane. I don't think he went insane. Did he look like he was going insane to you? I don't think so. He was, you know, they are so used to sitting on television and just saying whatever lies they feel like saying. And everybody just sits there and goes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And they say, now, wait a minute. Maybe you're wrong. But this is a man who, you're damn right, I listened to Rush, of course, today. You know, you had to listen to this dreamland that these right-wingers, first of all, not one of them can get a sentence out. This happened on Rush, it happened on Drudge, you know, I'm sure it'll happen on Hannity. They can't get a sentence out of their mouth about this Bill Clinton interview on Fox News yesterday without one particular name coming up. You'll never guess. No, you won't. You're laughing. You don't know. You think it's Monica? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's Juanita Broderick. Oh, yes. Oh, we can't talk about Bill Clinton without mentioning Juanita Broderick. That's the woman who said that he raped her. That's the woman that owned the nursing home that said he raped her when he was governor, I guess, or maybe lieutenant governor. and bloodied her lip. And as she left the hotel room where he had attacked her, he said, "You better put some ice on that lip." So they're saying you can see this purple rage. I actually didn't know where that expression came from. That was like on the Drudge website, purple rage, Bill Clinton. And I didn't know where it came from, but Rush, I don't remember in this detail as Rush does, said that Juanita Broderick actually said that when he attacked her, because you could see what, that he's just the kind of man that would just rape women and beat them up. That in his entire life, of course, he did it to this one woman. That's the other thing that to me made it like so totally unbelievable. Somebody who beats women up and rapes them tends to like do it to more than one person. Oh, I'm sorry. Probably had them killed. I'm sorry. You know, we haven't looked at the Clinton death list for a long time. See, he probably had the other women killed. But that's, this is, believe me, not a talking point coming from Karl Rove. This is coming from the demented minds of people like Limbaugh with this Juanita Broderick stuff, you know. Because that's just, Chris Wallace should have, Rush says, gee, the only thing he left out yelling at Chris Wallace when he left was saying, you should put some ice on your lip. They think they're so clever. Just like Bill said to Chris, you think you're so clever with that smirk on your face. And he did have a smirk on his face. That little putz head. So I think there's some psychology operating here. One of which I got, Rush was talking about his assistant Cookie, her theory. And one was a caller I heard last night, and I think they're actually both right. Clinton spent last weekend in Texas at Ann Richards' wake. Okay? They were very close. And not that way, I don't think. She was like his age. Well, no, she wasn't. She was older. And you get kind of a heightened sense of mortality. You know, she's what? She was 73, so she was 13 years older than him. But I think it could have gotten in his mind that I better set this, history straight while I'm alive, because, man, once he's dead, forget it. Once he's dead, you know, then they really can say anything. I mean, I personally think that history will just totally exonerate him. And, oh, God, that not Henry Hyde. Talk about being one step from death. He gave an interview somewhere. If he had it to do over again, he would have, like, been much more strict about Clinton's impeachment. He would have tried harder. Little sack of crap. Little sack of shit, Henry Hyde. This is the March of the Midgets going by here. There's, like, three very short men. All trying to compensate by walking with that bushwalk, you know, with the legs apart and the elbows out. So he may have been thinking that action to Chris Wallace, Clinton's. Who can tell? I'm just saying, if you it's so much better to have somebody on bark in that. I feel so much better if I the jewelry to sell. Something up with $15 million instead of just walking around to steal life. $15 million. my God, he did something. It is hard for men to do this. Such women and son. He really is. Eyeing and shaking, chinting here. Said, I failed. I say that. I mean, nobody likes to say I failed. Yes, you have to say it because it's obvious he failed. Most important, you know, right? That's the That is the most important thing. Sandy. It's such a right-wing thing, but it sounds so funny. Sandy Berger told oh, and I want to set so it was saying he bumped. You're going to forget them. His wife. Get it. Did wake up. But that was... Bush today. Yes. Remember, everybody's screaming about it. You know, it was all Bush's fault, all Clinton's fault. He had been president for a month. Everything that happened a month after he became president was his fault. With Bush, it's Clinton's fault. It's like amazing how time just... So remember that. He did not send the troops into Somalia in the first place. Let's take a break. And then we're going to like start playing the interview. We'll chat about it and, you know, whatever. Because it's, I don't know. Minutes, but I guess you can't do that. We can do anything. Oh, guess who's coming to do a radio show here? Guess. Jane Pratt, my hero. Jane Pratt, who was the editor of Jane magazine. And before that, she was the one, remember I told you a couple of months ago, some little unassuming lady was, because she had an appointment here. She said, you can't just leap on people. But I said, you're Jane Pratt? When I was reading, Jane was here. But if you watch it closely, it's always like notes. He was like poking the papers Chris Wallace was holding. And Chris Wallace goes, oh, I felt like a mountain was coming down on me, because I'll tell you one thing. Bill Clinton is huge. Clinton is very, what is he, 6'2 or something? He's very big. He's a very big guy. Well, maybe if you weren't a long little sack of people wouldn't be poking you.
Real liberal talk radio. This is Sirius Left 146. America, the way it ought to be. On Sirius Left 146.
Start your day inside the Beltway with Bill Press. Mornings at 6 East. Then it's Alex Bennett, Tom Hartman, Lynn Samuels.
Talk radio, Sirius Left 146.
Just walking into your... How would you like to commute to work with... A billionaire family spent $20 million in 3 years to find the best home-based business in North America. If it had real long-term potential... ...leave... your performance. Interest.
Granite Publishers. Halfway through. But I am the characters that didn't like some not that I'm sitting there. I could be. They could like kill everybody in this movie and I wouldn't care. I totally would not care. A painting. So, I just left. Terrible. Who cared? And, oh God, somebody had said, but are they TiVo Jericho? And but it's not very good. That was an understatement. That was definitely the understatement of the century, wasn't it? What could be wrong with it? All right, can we start it? And you know, I'll see, I don't know, when it seems like a good moment to stop.
Here's we announced that you were going to be on Fox News Sunday. I got a lot of email from viewers, and I got to say, I was surprised. Most of them wanted me to ask you this question. Why didn't you do more to put Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda out of business when you were president? There's a new book out you may, I suspect you've already read, called The Looming Tower. And it talks about the fact that when you pulled troops out of Somalia in 1993, Bin Laden said, I have seen the frailty and the weakness and the cowardice of U.S. troops. Then there was the bombing of the embassies in Africa and the attack on the coal.
Okay, let's just go through.
Let me I just finish the question, yeah. Sir? And after the attack, the book says that Bin Laden separated his leaders, spread them around because he expected an attack, and there was no response. I understand that hindsight is always 20/20.
No, let's talk about it.
But the question is, no. Why didn't you do more, connect the dots, and put them out of business?
All right, let's talk about it. I will answer all those things on the merits, but first I want to talk about the context in which this arises. I'm being asked this on the Fox network. ABC just had a right-wing conservative running their little pathway to 9/11, falsely claiming it was based on the 9/11 commission report, with three things asserted against me directly contradicted by the 9/11 commission report. And I think it's very interesting that all the conservative Republicans who now say I didn't do enough claim that I was too obsessed with Bin Laden. All of President Bush's neocons thought I was too obsessed with Bin Laden. They had no meetings on Bin Laden for 9 months after I left office.
That's right.
All the right-wingers who now say I didn't do enough said I did too much. Same people. They were all trying to get me to withdraw from Somalia in 1993. The next day, after we were involved in Black Hawk Down, and I refused to do it and stayed 6 months and had an orderly transfer to the United Nations. Okay, now let's look at all the criticisms. Black Hawk Down, Somalia. There is not a living soul in the world who thought Osama bin Laden had anything to do with Black Hawk Down, or was paying any attention to it, or even knew Al-Qaeda was a going concern in October of 1993.
I understand. No, wait.
Don't tell me this. You asked me why did I do more to bin Laden.
Yes,
there was
not
a living
idiot,
soul.
No,
all the people who now criticize me wanted to leave the next day. You brought this up, so you get an answer. Secondly,
bin Laden says
that, but bin Laden may have said
bin Laden says
that,
but it showed the weakness of the United
but
States.
But it would have shown the weakness if we'd left right away. But he wasn't involved in that. That's just a bunch of bull. That was about Muhammad Adid, a Muslim warlord, murdering 22 Pakistani Muslim troops. We were all there on a humanitarian mission. We had no mission, none, to establish a certain kind of Somali government or keep anybody out. He was not a religious fanatic. There was no Al-Qaeda.
Okay, wait,
if I
stop.
May.
I'm just stopping it here because I did my research, that afterwards, actually, Osama bin Laden claimed he had trained those people. I don't know when he claimed that, but he apparently claimed he had trained the Black Hawk Down people. And may I point out, which Bill Clinton didn't point out, first of all, it was nice of him because he didn't say that Bush you see, Clinton has never blamed anybody else. You notice that? They're so happy to blame Clinton for everything. You notice he didn't say, by the way, my surrogate father, my new father, the father Bush, sent the troops in the first place. I thought that was very interesting that he didn't mention that. That he hadn't even sent those troops in. And what was the other thing? That Osama... Guess who's taken over Somalia now? The Islamic extremists. Isn't that interesting? He was just trying to protect his legacy. But the fact is that in the last couple of months... Because, again, you know, Bush can only see one thing. He can only see Iraq. That the Islamic extremists are taking over Somalia. You know, maybe he's letting it happen so he can have another war. You can never have too many wars. That's the motto of President Death. All right, we're going to pick it up where we stopped. Chris Wallace and Bill Clinton.
Instead of going through 93 and 96,
no, you ask it. You brought it up.
May I ask you a general question and then you can answer?
Yeah.
The 9/11 Commission, which you talk about, and this is what they did say, not what ABC pretended they said.
What did they say?
They said about you and President Bush, and I quote, "The U.S. government took the threat seriously, but not in the sense of mustering anything like the kind of effort that would be gathered to confront an enemy of the first, second, or even third rank."
First of all, that's not true with us and bin Laden.
Well, I'm telling you, that's what the 9/11 Commission
said. Let's look at what Richard Clark said. Do you think Richard Clark has a vigorous attitude about bin Laden?
Yes, I do.
You do, don't you?
He has a variety of opinions and loyalties, but yes, he has a vigorous opinion.
Yeah, he has a variety of opinions and loyalties now, but let's look at the facts. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He was loyal to him. He worked for George H.W. Bush, he was loyal to him. He worked for me, and he was loyal to me. He worked for President Bush, he was loyal to him. They downgraded him and the terrorist operation.
That's right.
Now, look what he said. Read his book and read his factual assertions. Not opinions, assertions. He said, we took vigorous action after the African embassies. We probably nearly got bin Laden. I authorized the CIA to get groups together to try to kill him. The CIA was run by George Tenet that President Bush gave the Medal of Freedom to. He said he did a good job setting up all these counterterrorism things. The country never had a comprehensive anti-terror operation until I came there. Now, if you want to criticize me for one thing, you can criticize me for this. After the cold, I had battle plans drawn to go into Afghanistan, overthrow the Taliban, and launch a full-scale attack search for bin Laden. But we needed basing rights in Uzbekistan, which we got after 9/11. The CIA and the FBI refused to certify that bin Laden was responsible while I was there. They refused to certify. So that meant I would have had to send a few hundred special forces in helicopters refuel at night. Even the 9/11 Commission didn't do that. Now, the 9/11 Commission was a political document, too. All I'm asking is, anybody wants to say I didn't do enough, you read Richard Clark's
book. Do you think you did enough, sir?
No, because I didn't get him.
Right.
But at least I tried. That's the difference in me and some, including all the right-wingers that are attacking me now. They ridicule me for trying. They had 8 months to try. They did not try. I tried. So I tried and failed. When I failed, I left a comprehensive anti-terror strategy, and the best guy in the country, Dick Clark, who got demoted.
Isn't that it? You know, they are just not used to anybody who is articulate, who has facts at his command, who can spit. That's what they're not used to. And and this is the part where they said he went so crazy. This is where they said he was being adamant. He tried. I tried, and I failed. And they ridiculed me because when he bombed that aspirin factory, remember he said they were making weapons of mass destruction. Look at that. Bush has had a war going on for 3.5 years. He has spent... Well, they just asked for another $100 billion. It's up to $500 billion for WMDs that didn't exist. Clinton bombed this factory where he said they were making WMDs in the Sudan. And they carried on. I found some, I forget what I Googled, but I found some right-wing website. And they had all these right-wing articles from after he bombed the aspirin factory. You would have thought that was the end of the world. You would have just thought that was the end. And apparently bombed Afghanistan at the same time, in 1998. And yes, the rebob, he did it just as Monica was going to testify before the grand jury. Right? And Rush is sitting there today and he's saying everybody supported him. Well, where in my mind did I make up the phrase, no war for Monica? Did I make that up? That's all you heard. No war for Monica. No war for Monica. That's what they were yelling. And I remember sitting there in 1998 and saying, if she's testifying before the grand jury, which is secret, why would he need to start a war? What are you going to see? What did you see with the grand jury? See her walking in, see her walking out. That's all you see. It's not like he needed people to forget what she said. Because all you knew that she said is whatever, I don't even remember, did her lawyers ever come out and even say what she had said? I don't think so. So you tell me the lies that Russia's telling now, so everybody supported him. No, they didn't. It wasn't Somalia where they yelled, wag the dog, Alex. It was then that they were yelling, wag the dog, and no war for Monica. And he's going to die, and I'm telling you, this is, you know, it's going to be so boring to people. It's going to be boring. You realize their kids, you know, they did on this fifth anniversary of 9/11, the children that were born after. So in 15 years, they're going to be 20 years old. Do you think those people are going to care anything about 9/11 or Bill Clinton or anything like that? Of course not. So this interview, it'll be there forever. Of Bill Clinton himself explaining what happened, which we'll play more of it. When we come back, Lynn Samuels, Theories Left 146.
To all former conservatives,
welcome to 146. Nice to have you on our side.
Real Liberal Talk Radio.
Serious Left 146.
Thank you for calling Gateway. How can I assist you today?
I need computers for my new business.
Oh, no problem. Let's discuss your immediate needs and where you want to go in the future.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Let's get started.
Okay, great. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. As a small business owner, you have a lot of concerns. We don't want your technology to be one of them. See what our small business productivity tools, like ultra-reliable servers, powerful desktops, and the innovative M285 convertible notebook with Intel Centrino dual mobile technology, can do for your business. As technology consultants, we can help address your challenges with expert advice and personalized solutions. Now, with the purchase of a new Gateway PC like the M285 convertible notebook with Intel Centrino Duo mobile technology, we'll even throw in 30 free minutes of Answers by Gateway, where industry experts are available to answer all of your questions. Call 1-800-GATEWAY or visit gateway.com to find out how we can help your business succeed.
Another good news story from Aleve.
I'm Tracy Durfee, and this is my story. When the doctor said to me, I think you have arthritis, I kind of sunk. The arthritis in my hand affects everything I do. People don't realize how often they use your hands. Picking up a pen, shifting the car, just living your life will sometimes just hurt. I depend on Aleve. Aleve really helps. I can get through my everyday without being in pain. It's great.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hey, I'm Sam from Earthlink, and this is Tom on the drums. Okay, here to tell you about some of the great services you may not know Earthlink offers, such as high-speed access. You make it sound like a joke when you do that. We really have high-speed access, as well as low-cost home phone service. Tom, not funny. We have VoIP and wireless phone service, too. You want to make a joke about that?
Earthlink offers more than you think. No joke. Learn more at 1-866-EARTHLINK or earthlink.net.
Bill Press, right before Alex Bennett, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
They're not used to interviewing anybody intelligent. You know, why is it that after Chavez mentioned Noam Chomsky and got his book to number one, although, do you know Chavez thought Noam Chomsky was dead? So he's not as smart as you think Chavez is. He actually, his first thing, he said, gee, I wish I had gotten to meet Noam Chomsky before he died. And Noam is sitting there up in Massachusetts going, you go, here I am, darling. Very much alive. Now he wants to go to Venezuela so they can get to him. But they're not used to, why wasn't Noam Chomsky on every program this week? Because, well, first of all, let me tell you something. I worship Noam Chomsky to pieces. But let me tell you something. Boring! Oh, my God. Oh, God. 1 minute listening to Noam Chomsky is like, I don't know, 7 hours of watching Boston Legal. It is unbelievable. He really is. He has fabulous thoughts, but he expresses them in the most boring way possible. And I do worship him. But Chris Wallace is not used to somebody with a brain. You know, and some passion. And somebody who, you know, they started out the interview by saying, oh, you turned 60 and, I don't know, and you say, and you nearly died. And you know, Clinton said, well, that sounds morbid. But it is morbid. Because you really have to think, when you're a man like Bill Clinton, that the minute you're dead, that's it. You know, that Juanita Broderick is going to be writing your history. You know, and everybody else is that, you know, they're going to say, oh, the rest of these people, they're just lying. So it is important to him. All right, there's 5 minutes left. I don't know, maybe I'll stop it again. Maybe I won't. Can't get enough Bill and Chris Wallace.
So, you did Fox's bidding on this show. You did your nice little conservative hit job on me.
What I want to know is...
That's a legitimate question.
No, it was a perfectly legitimate question, but I want to know how many people in the Bush administration you asked this question.
Yeah.
I want to know how many people in the Bush administration you asked, why didn't you do anything about the coal? I want to know how many people you asked, why did you fire Dick Clark? I want to know how many people you asked.
We asked. Did you ever watch Fox News Sunday, sir?
I don't believe you asked them that.
We asked plenty of questions.
You didn't ask that, did you? Tell the truth.
With Iraq and Afghanistan, there's plenty of stuff to ask.
Did you ever ask that? You set this meeting up because you're going to get a lot of criticism from your viewers because Rupert Murdoch's supporting my work on climate change. And you came here under false pretenses and said that you'd spend half the time talking about, you said you'd spend half the time talking about what we did out there to raise $7 billion plus in 3 days from 215 different commitments. And you don't care.
But President Clinton, if you look at the questions here, you'll see half the questions about it. I didn't think this was going to set you off on such a
tear. It set off on a tear because you didn't formulate it in an honest way, and because you people ask me questions, you don't ask the other side.
That is not true.
Richard Clark made it clear in his testimony.
Would you like to talk about the Clinton Global Initiative?
No, I want to face this now.
All right.
All I'm saying is you falsely accused me of giving aid and comfort to bin Laden because of what happened in Somalia. No one knew Al-Qaeda existed then.
Did they know in 1996 when he declared war on the U.S.? Did they know in 1998?
Absolutely. When
he bombed the two embassies? Did they know in 2000 when he hit the coal?
What did I do? I worked hard to try to kill him. I authorized a finding for the CIA to kill him. We contracted with people to kill him. I got closer to killing him than anybody's gotten since. And if I were still president, we'd have more than 20,000 troops there trying to kill him. Now, I've never criticized President Bush, and I don't think this is useful. But you know, we do have a government that thinks Afghanistan is only 1/7 as important as Iraq. And you ask me about terror and Al-Qaeda with that sort of dismissive thing, when all you have to do is read Richard Clark's book to look at what we did in a comprehensive, systematic way to try to protect the country against terror. And you got that little smirk on your face, and you think you're so clever. But I had responsibility for trying to protect this country. I tried, and I failed to get bin Laden. I regret it, but I did try. And I did everything I thought I responsibly could. The entire military was against sending special forces into Afghanistan and refueling by helicopter. And no one thought we could do it otherwise because we could not get the CIA and the FBI to certify that Al-Qaeda was responsible while I was president. And so I left office. And yet, I get asked about this all the time. They had three times as much time to deal with it, and nobody ever asked them about it. I think that's strange.
Can I ask you about the Clinton Global Initiative?
You can.
I always intended to, sir.
No, you intended, though, to move your bones by doing this first, which is perfectly fine. But I don't mind people asking me. I actually talked to the 9/11 Commission for 4 hours, Chris, and I told them the mistakes I thought I made, and I urged them to make those mistakes public because I thought none of us had been perfect. But instead of anybody talking about those things, I always get these clever little political deals where they ask me one set of questions and the other guy's another set. And it always comes from one source. And so,
I really want to ask you about the Clinton Global Initiative. What's the source? I mean, you seem upset. I am upset because...
I'm asking you this
in good faith because it's on people's minds, sir.
Well, there's a reason it's on people's minds. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's a reason it's on people's minds because there's been a serious disinformation campaign to create that impression. This country only has one person who's worked on this terror, from the terrorist incidents under Reagan to the terrorist incidents of 9/11. Only one, Richard Clark. And all I can say to anybody is, if you want to know what we did wrong or right, or anybody else did, read his book. The people on my political right who say I didn't do enough spent the whole time I was president saying, why is he so obsessed with bin Laden? That was wag the dog when he tried to kill them. My Republican Secretary of Defense, and I think I'm the only president since World War II to have a Secretary of Defense of the opposite party, Richard Clark, and all the intelligence people said that I ordered a vigorous attempt to get bin Laden and came closer, apparently, than anybody has since.
All right.
And you guys try to create the opposite impression.
Sorry you asked it, aren't you?
Richard Clark's findings, and you know it's not true. It's just not true. And all this business about Somalia, the same people that criticized me about Somalia were demanding I leave the next day. The same exact crowd. So if you're going to do this, for God's sakes, follow the same standards for everybody.
I think we do.
And be flat and fair.
I think we do. When we return, we finally...
Okay, is he the best or what? You know, I swear to God, if they made an announcement today that a week from tomorrow... Tomorrow's too soon. A week from Tuesday, the first Tuesday in October, we all get to go to the polls and vote. Who's going to be the president for the next 2 years, till 2008? Bush or Clinton? Who do you think would be elected? Who do you think would be elected with 70% at least? Let's go back to when there's no killing, there's no wars, we didn't have... we're up to 2,701 dead people. They're now making 4,000 soldiers who were supposed to leave Iraq. Well, they get to stay another few weeks. It's pathetic. That is like the greatest interview I own. You have that little smirk on your face, don't you? And he did. All right, people are holding on forever. We'll take the last break and we'll speak. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
Real Liberal Talk Radio. This is Sirius Left 146.
Sirius is your exclusive satellite radio home for every NFL game.
Rex throwing into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Eaves it left for Plaxico Burress,
who makes the catch for a touchdown! The Giants have won in overtime, and they come on the field in 5 minutes!
From the preseason right through the Super Bowl.
The Pittsburgh Steelers did it the hard way.
Sirius is your exclusive satellite radio home for the NFL.
Meet Ted.
Hello.
Ted's locked himself inside his car so he can enjoy his favorite Sirius shows all to himself.
Woo-hoo!
What Ted doesn't realize is that during our Hey, Get Your Own Sirius event, you'll get a free Sirius radio when you add another subscription at just $6.99 a month. For more information or to order your free radio, call 1-888-SIRIUS-1. Offer expires September 25th. Sirius Satellite Radio, the best radio on radio. Applies to sports to replay and StarMate replay models only. Requires purchase of an additional prepaid 6-month subscription, plus a home kit, boombox, or executive dock.
Started a business? Want to help reduce your taxes? Provide peace of mind by protecting your assets. Incorporate now with LegalZoom.com. Just answer a simple form online. It's quick and affordable. LegalZoom is not a law firm and can only provide self-help service at your direction. Visit LegalZoom.com, and for a special discount, type Sirius in the referral box at checkout. Incorporate your business. Form an LLC. Even create a living will or trust. Go to LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations. Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote. That's a felony.
Tom Hartman,
noon East, 9 a.m. West on
Real Liberal Talk Radio,
Sirius Left 146. Start your day the liberal way. Bill Press, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
All right, well, the person I should take first agrees with me, so I'm going to have to take the person who's holding on the least. Paul in Utah.
Glenn, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just had to ask a question. I've been listening to you. I listen to both sides. And I've got to ask, when you were you born a breeched?
You have a smirk on your face and you think you're so clever. What is the point of that question?
Well, I'm just wondering how else your head could be so far up your butt that a lot of your listeners would like to know.
How is my head up my butt? Everything Clinton says is true. You don't remember no war for Monica? Paul! Well, all right, he hung on 18 minutes, and my hands never left my body, or whatever. Gene in Kentucky.
Hey, Lynn, I just wanted to remind you that the war in Somalia there, that started in either December of 92. I think it was right.
Yeah, that's what I said. Bush did that after Clinton had been elected.
Right. And
wasn't it nice of Clinton not to even mention that?
Well, the media was standing there waiting for him as he come up on the beach. It was called that Operation Restore Hope shit.
Well, yeah, but it was supposedly humanitarian. I mean, it was not to impose a government on Somalia, you know. I mean, remember, Bush the father, however bad we thought he was then, you know, was not the nut his son is.
No, definitely, I think he had a little bit more common sense. Hell, I think even his son has even blamed his dad for this horse shit with Iraq, even that if his dad...
Oh, well, remember when they asked Bush if he consults his father, and he says, I consult a higher father?
Yeah, hell, you notice Clinton and his father hang out more than Bush does.
Well, of course they do, because how could the first Bush... You know, hang out with a moron like the second Bush.
He's been a poor little rich boy his whole damn life, got a silver spoon stuck so damn far up his ass, it's fucking with his brain. That's
you
all
know what is so pathetic? Is that Bill Clinton is the epitome of the story of the American dream. This guy was born with nothing. Nothing. His family was poor. You know... This guy is what every American is supposed to aspire to, an absolutely 100% self-made man.
Well, he, you know, I'm not going to say Clinton was, you know, he had his things, too. I don't know, there's other rumors. I'm not going to get into about that Juanita horse shit. I never heard much about that. But my understanding was that there was something that they had, when he was governor of Arkansas, that they had some kind of CIA cocaine network going through his state.
Oh, that Mena. Well, look, I don't know whether that was true, that Mena, Arkansas thing. However, my theory about Mena, say it was true. Say the CIA wanted to use that little airport at Mena to bring in drugs into Arkansas, right?
Right, right.
And say you are a totally unknown nobody. You're a nobody. You're the governor of Arkansas. You're nobody, right?
Right.
And somehow you knew about it. What are you going to say? No? What are they? Because they probably have killed him.
Could be, but I mean, that was probably a good, might have been a good way to get the power, or higher powers that be.
Well, maybe, but I mean, if the story...
Maybe show that you're on their side. That was the way the Democrat got elected in 92.
Well, I don't think so. I think he did it through the power of his personality. I really do. He just, I met him two times. That guy, he's like pure energy, you know. He's just an amazing person. He does that thing where you meet him and he looks you in the eye and you really think he cares.
To his credit, I will say he is more presidential than cuckoo bananas that's sitting in there right now.
Well, no, you see, Rush was saying... Have you ever seen George Bush react like that when he's asked a tough question? First of all, you never saw Clinton react like that when he was president either.
George Bush reacts like that. Hell, didn't he just have a reaction last week with that unthinkable, or it's not right to think that about that Colin Powell shit? I can't remember right
yes.
now.
Yes, oh, when he gave out, oh, God. That, and then the other quote that I saw around this weekend, when history looks back on Iraq this whole time, he has the same theory Garrett has. He goes, it'll be like a comma.
Hey, he better.
It's nothing. All these dead people, hundreds of thousands of dead people in Iraq, it's a comma.
He better hope he gets the missiles up there so he can blast us all back to God before any of us can write about his
yeah.
history.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, he'll be losing his temper a lot.
Damn.
Thanks,
yeah.
hon.
Later, hon.
Bye. Yeah, that's... Now, I understand. I heard somewhere that this comma thing is... That, you know, he talks, Bush, I keep hearing, in evangelical terms, but he does it in ways that, like, we're not supposed to know, but the in-crowd, the in-evangelical crowd does know. And I just heard that this thing saying that Iraq would be a comma really... It's that the fundamentalists and the evangelicals believe God never puts a period to anything, nothing ever ends, that everything is just a comma. You know, so that he was speaking, he speaks in code. Maybe that's That's why he has so much trouble speaking. Because he has to speak in a way that sounds normal to us, right? But where he's sending secret messages, why don't they have like a George Bush decoder ring? Like people could send away to the White House for it. Because he can't pull it off, you know, where it sounds intelligent to us, and yet he's sending secret messages to the evangelicals at the same time. Maybe that's why the guy can't get a sentence out of his mouth. There actually are other stories, believe it or not. But we can keep talking about, I could talk about Bill Clinton forever. Another hour, I'll be right back on Samuel.
Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, America's fastest growing radio station.
Because even hardcore conservatives are abandoning their president.
AP Radio News. I'm Ed Donahue. Starting tomorrow at the airport, you will be able to bring some liquids on board planes in your carry-on bags. Kip Hawley is with the Transportation Security Administration.
Travel size, 3-ounce containers of eye drops, lip gloss, makeup, shaving cream, whatever you need that fit and seal comfortably into a 1-quart or less zip-top baggie.
For bigger items like shampoo, you can now buy them at the airport after you pass through the security checkpoint. These restrictions were imposed after a plot in Britain was foiled. The plan was to bring liquid explosives on planes traveling to the U.S. 4,000 American soldiers in Iraq thought they'd be going home soon. They'll be staying an extra several more weeks. The reason is they have to wait for their replacements to arrive. The AP's Bob Burns at the Pentagon reports the effects are being felt at home.
The families of these soldiers are affected directly by this. It was the experience of the families of the 172nd Striker Brigade in Alaska, many of whom protested publicly and were concerned about their family members being kept in Iraq longer than planned, and now this is going to happen again.
Iran's foreign minister says talks on his country's controversial nuclear program are on track and should end in a negotiated settlement. He says there was a good connection at the UN between the two sides. It's good news for buyers, bad news for sellers. Sales of existing homes dropped last month for the fifth month in a row. David Larray at the National Association of Realtors says this isn't a bad thing.
It's a drop that was necessary. We had a real big boom over the last 5 years. Prices got out of whack, so we do need a correction. And hopefully, with fingers and toes crossed, prices will continue to drop for the remaining months of this year, and that will bring buyers back into the market.
A federal judge in Nebraska is ordering the deportation of 3 students from Egypt who are among 11 students involved in a nationwide search. The 3 students have admitted they violated immigration laws. Wall Street, the Dow is up 38 points. This is AP Radio News. Pope Benedict met with Muslim leaders today at his summer home in Italy. He's trying to ease tensions over recent comments about Islam and violence. The Pope has apologized. Iraqi envoy Edward Ismail Yelda says the timing of the meeting was important.
Today and this day, which the Muslim world are having their fast, the holy month of Ramadan, so it was very important.
Pope Benedict says Catholics and Muslims must work together to reject violence. The future of humanity is at stake. Tonight in New Orleans, the Saints will play the Falcons. This isn't an ordinary game for the Saints' Sam Horn and a whole lot of other people. It's the first game at the Superdome since Hurricane Katrina hit.
I've never been to the Super Bowl before, but I've heard about it. I've seen and heard what goes on up to the Super Bowl, and that's what's been happening this week. That's been some of the things I've been hearing around here.
The Superdome was home for thousands of Katrina refugees in the days after the storm hit. I'm Ed Donahue, AP Radio News.
Introducing real people with remarkable results, thanks to the Bowflex Home Gym.
My name is Michael Palenko, and I'm 49 years old. I'm in the best shape of my life.
Michael strength trains with a Bowflex Home Gym.
Well, in 10 weeks, I lost 26 pounds of fat. My waist dropped from a 36-inch down to about a 30.
Call 1-800-209-FLEX for a free informational DVD.
Using the Bowflex has changed my life tremendously. I love the way I look.
Get your own Bowflex Home Gym for no money down and payments as low as $14 a month, and your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Get a Bowflex, get your own Bowflex body. That's how it works.
Be strong, be fit, be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-209-FLEX. That's 1-800-209-FLEX. Or go to buybowflex.com.
On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fees. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Individual results will vary. Full refund, the shipping and handling. Call for complete details.
If you're a CFI driver, you can still win a fully loaded 2006 GMC Sierra Denali 1500 Crew Cab Pickup or up to $10,000 in cash just by telling other drivers how much you like working for CFI. But you'll have to hurry. This contest ends on September 30th and time is running out. All you have to do is keep telling other drivers that CFI pays practical miles, has the newest fleet on the road, and even lets pets, friends, or family ride along. Or you could mention that CFI's average solo pay is $52,000 a year, and CFI teams earn 43 cents per mile. But in order for you to win, they have to call 1-800-CFI-DRIVE now. Contest rules apply. Call 1-800-CFI-DRIVE for all the details. CFI, never settle for less.
Sirius Left 146 presents Lynn Samuels.
Sisters and brothers, this is Reverend Satchmo getting ready to beat out this Nuller sermon for you. My text this evening is when the saints go marching in. Here come Brother Hickenbottom down the aisle with his trombone. Blow it, boy. Oh, when the saints go marching in,
marching in.
Now when the saints go marching in,
marching in.
Yes, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Now when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, yes, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Okay, that's tonight. $184 million they spent to rebuild the Superdome so they could play football. How many hundreds of thousands of people who lived in New Orleans can't go home? You heard a couple of weeks ago when the reporters went back, when they, oh, gee whiz, Katrina. You know, they woke up and remembered. And they went back and they said there were entire swaths of New Orleans that look exactly the way they looked a year ago. And some places look worse. Garbage. Just piled up. Just desolate. A no man's land. So the people can't go home. But $184 million to rebuild a football stadium. That's a whole other story. Public money. Public money. Screwed up priorities? or not. I think so. Now, there are other people who say, oh, this is so wonderful. This is like the symbolic rebirth. I don't think the people who want to go back home, they want a symbolic rebirth. I think they want like an actual rebirth. Although I'll give them credit for one thing. We're sitting here, as Ray Nagin said, with the hole in the ground in New York for 5 years. You know, I think it was a horrible way to spend public money. But on the other hand, they at least in 1 year managed to do something. So who's playing there tonight? Wait a minute, I need to look on my own website. You want to hear one of those? You know how sometimes there are just headlines so stupid that you can't even believe somebody would write them? I have not read one whole story about this, but you know that story where the lady cut the fetus out of the other lady? And she, like, killed the other woman's three children on... I can't read things like that, but here's a headline for you. Psych exam ordered for fetus-snatching suspect. Really? Really? They ordered a psych exam for a woman who cut a fetus out of another woman's body. Gee whiz, what a surprise. Who would ever think to do such a thing, order a psych exam? Eichewald. What was the other? Oh, they found E. coli in another bag of spinach. You know, I swear to God. Did you ever, like, eat something? Now, I know that the rule is, when in doubt, throw it out. Right? You know that's the rule. You know, when you say... But I've sometimes eaten when in doubt. Because I haven't been in that much doubt. But do you know what I do? I never throw my garbage out when I've eaten something in doubt. Because I figure if I die... No, because if you die, then you want them to find the empty can or the empty container. Don't you do that? No, but they won't know where it came. But these people with the E. coli, it took them long enough to figure out. The two big clues they got were the two people who said, oh, the rest of the spinach is in my refrigerator. And they found it in the spinach, and that's how they traced where the spinach was grown. But I've done that. Like you say, you know, I'm going to leave it. Leave the can in this. When they find my body, they'll look at my garbage. And they'll say, oh, that's what killed her. Other people have told me that they've done that. So that's not so crazy. Oh, so they've extended, the Army has extended Iraq duty for 4,000 soldiers. And perhaps this very minute as we speak... there are ex-generals testifying before the Democrats in Congress, not the Republicans, because they don't want to hear this. Ex-generals saying Rumsfeld is a fuck-up and an asshole. Ex-generals, which is very unusual. Ex-generals tend not to do stuff like that. But this guy is such a screw-up. He's such a screw-up. Wait, let me find this. Where is this? Saints go marching back to Superdome. Oh, and you'll be happy to know. The FBI is still working on those anthrax attacks. You thought they forgot about them. There was a rumor a couple of weeks ago that they were going to, like, drop the whole thing. They were just going to throw their hands up and say, oh, God, forget it already. We don't know who did it. But, no, they're still working very hard. And remember when they said that this was a highly sophisticated weaponized form of anthrax? That only some fancy scientist... like Stephen Hatfield, whose life they then destroyed, could have possibly even had access. Now they say, it was like nothing. Anybody could have had it. Now the whole world is a person of interest. So are they going to apologize to this man whose life they destroyed, Stephen Hatfield, this ex-government scientist? Or does just saying, anybody, this wasn't fancy anthrax. We thought it was the fancy car. We thought it was the Godiva of anthrax. And it turns out it was the Hershey's. So now, like, God, they can ruin everybody's life. They can say, I did it. They're never going to find out who did it. First of all, it had nothing to do with 9/11. It was some right-wing nut. When you think about the people who got anthraxed, Tom Brokaw, who else? There's one whole theory. Oh, what was it? Patrick Leahy? I don't know. It's like a couple of liberal members of Congress. There is a theory it was done just to get them to vote for, like, the Patriot. You know, it was like, look at what we can do. Look at how easy it would be to kill you. It's like Karl Rove probably did it. You know, I'll tell you something. It's not in that part of the Clinton interview. It's in another part. But he has such a fabulous grip on reality. You know, the right wing just goes out and they smear everybody. You know, if you disagree with Bush, you love Bin Laden. And, you know, Bush is really America. So you have to support him because he's not just a temporary elected official. He is the country. And they never admit what politics is all about. And somewhere in that interview with Chris Wallace, Bill Clinton was he was talking about how, you know, they use fear. They're just trying to use fear again. Make us be afraid of the terrorists, you know, and Karl Rove is using it. And Clinton says, I have a lot of respect for Karl Rove because that's their job, to beat us. And it's our job not to let them. He at least understands that it's sad that when you're talking about a country and our security and our safety, and it's sad to realize it, but, you know, let's get real. The politics is all a game. It's all a game. And the right wing can't ever acknowledge that. That they're playing a game, you know, and they think it's terrible that we can recognize it's a game. But of course you have to, I guess, you know, if you're one of the big game players like Clinton is, you do have to acknowledge it's all a game. All right, so this Super Bowl, what is this, the 30,000 people, how terrible it was. $143 million in federal, state, and private funding. Their first home game since December the 26th, 2004. And it sold out. They have the whole season is sold out. 69,000 people are going to the Superdome. It's been upgraded over its pre-Katrina condition. New artificial turf, new concession stands, new seats in a multi-million. They better have new everything. They better have, like, some new plumbing. Think they put in new plumbing? And a multi-million dollar complex of scoreboards and video screens because it is so much more important to have that than it would be to rebuild people's houses. How many houses could they have rebuilt with $143 million? If they had just said, whatever oomph they put into this, if they had put that oomph into saying, we're going to rebuild St. Bernard Parish. We're going to rebuild the Lower Ninth Ward. And if they had had 800 workers working around the clock for a year, how many homes could they have rebuilt? How many people could be back at home? Think about that. And the entertainment tonight is going to be the Goo Goo Dolls. Green Day, are they going to do American Idiot? Is Green Day going to perform American Idiot? And the ever sanctimonious U2. That's huge, actually, to get U2. Former President Bush. Oh, Rush was wrong. Rush kept saying President Bush was going to flip the coin. Rush made it sound like Bush was going to flip the coin. Oh, my God, Rushy, made a mistake, Rushy. Not President Bush, former President Bush, Daddy Bush is going to flip the coin, whatever that means. And Alan Toussaint, Irma Thomas, and Kermit Ruffins will perform the national anthem. And for a while, whether they're at the Superdome or watching television from rebuilt homes or FEMA trailers in New Orleans or in exile, anyone who has lived with Katrina fatigue for the last year can, albeit briefly, get away from it all. I don't think so. That would just make me pissed. Wouldn't that make you pissed if you lived there? That was their priority. That was their... Hey, what are they selling those... what do they call those? Those fancy boxes. Those, Sky... What? Yeah, the luxury boxes. So what are those going for? You think people paid for that? What do you think? You think Green Day's going to sing American Idiot? That would be so wonderful. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? I think that's terrible. That really bothers me. That bothers me a lot. Oh, my God. Scott Laredo.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing today?
Okay, what's up?
You're totally missing the point of this. I normally agree with you on just about everything. But what they're doing down in New Orleans by getting the Superdome up and running and getting that ball team back in there is to stimulate some growth into the economy, to bring some money in there, because every NFL game that's played there is going to bring tens of millions of dollars into that local economy to help to rebuild those houses, to help bring a sense of pride.
That's what they always say, but that's usually such a load of crap.
Right now, I'm very into sports, and football is my favorite sport, and I know the sense of pride with your football team, even though mine sucks this year.
And which team would that be?
Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm gonna be at Arrowhead Stadium next Sunday watching them play the 49ers.
Yeah, but they always say, "Oh, if you build this, if you, every city, they go, oh, you city, you give us money to build stadium, and it will be very good for the city," and it never is.
Oh, but it does. It brings in tens of millions of dollars to the economy.
Well,
I know. With the Chiefs, I mean, you figure in your food sales, your alcohol sales, and I think they're very smart doing this with the Atlanta game being their first game, because Atlanta is so close to New Orleans. You're going to get a lot of people from Georgia coming out there spending money in the city.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Well,
just,
I love your show, and kudos, President Clinton. Way to give Mike Wallace hell.
If we could have an election, if there was an election tomorrow for president, just for the next 2 years, between Bush and Clinton, who do you think would win?
Oh, Clinton would wipe
him
up.
That's what I think. Thank
you. Bush,
Bush.
I know Bush is a big Christian and everything, and I'm a Christian too, but I'm not one of these Christians that pushes his belief on everybody. My God, I still can't find that part in the Bible where it says, thou shalt torture your enemy.
I know! Who would Jesus torture?
Yeah, I'm sure it's right next to the part to where thou shalt never enter a casino and gamble.
Thank you, dear.
Love you, Lynn.
Thou shalt never snort cocaine. Thou shalt never get drunk. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
This is Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146. Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146. After Alex Bennett, it's Courage and Conviction with Tom Hartman at noon East, 9 a.m. West. Lynn Samuels fires on all cylinders at 1 p.m. East, 10 a.m. West. And Big Eddie takes over at 3 p.m. East, noon West with the Ed Schultz Show. Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Meet Ted.
Hello.
Ted's locked himself inside his car so he can enjoy his favorite Sirius shows all to himself.
Woo-hoo!
But there is a downside. His family really misses him.
We miss you, Dad.
I miss you too.
What Ted doesn't realize is that during our Hey, Get Your Own Sirius event, you'll get a free Sirius radio when you add another subscription at just $6.99 a month. And with a free radio for your home, you'll be able to spend some quality time with the whole family.
Daddy!
For more information or to order your free radio, call 1-888-SIRIUS-1. 1-888-SIRIUS-1. While supplies last, applies to sports to replay and StarMate replay models only. Requires purchase of an additional prepaid 6-month subscription, plus a home kit, boombox, or executive dock. Hurry. Offer expires Monday, September 25th. Call 1-888-SIRIUS-1. Sirius Satellite Radio, the best radio on radio.
Start your day the liberal way with Bill Press.
Okay, here's the latest. We got to support the war in Iraq, says George Bush, because it's part of the war on terror. Get out of here. The war in Iraq has nothing to do with the war on terror. In fact, Iraq is a huge distraction from the war on terror because it takes resources away from the true enemy, which is Al-Qaeda. So don't believe George W. Bush. Believe me.
The Bill Press Show, 6 a.m. East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146. Alex Bennett, mornings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Okay, wait, who's 629? 804, Barry in Virginia.
Yeah, that would be me.
That would be you.
Yes. Yeah, I just want to just run something by you that, you know, the Republicans keep saying that Clinton didn't do enough for the to fight terrorism. But I have an article here that says in 96 that the president urged Republican-controlled Congress to pass an anti-terrorism bill.
That's right.
Which would allow expanded wiretaps, not warrantless. And the GOP Congress said no.
That's I found that article. If you put in, like, Clinton and terrorism, I think that must be the first article that comes up.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering why the Congress said no, because he wanted to do it legally. And they just want everything done illegally, apparently.
Well, because they do everything. It was partisan.
Right,
Clinton wanted it, so they didn't want it.
Exactly. And I read this the other day when I was watching Clinton with that moron yesterday, you know, on Fox. I was waiting for him. I wanted him to say that so bad. You know, I'm hollering at the TV, bring up 96.
Well, he couldn't get everything in.
No, yeah, I know, but, you know, it just pissed me off so much that...
I know, and look, the people who bombed the Trade Center the first time, what did he do? He went out, he found them, he put them on trial, they're in prison.
He put them on trial legally, he didn't torture the shit out of them until they started spilling their guts about crap that they didn't do.
And that's right.
And when was that? In 92, right?
93, that was right after he took office. He had been in office for, everything happened like a month after he came in.
Right, okay, and then how many more terrorist attacks happened in this country between then and 9/11?
In this country, none. I still think the worst thing that ever happened was Oklahoma City, but that, of course, had nothing to do with Islamic terrorism.
Right, and I'm just wondering why we don't hear this from other people that, you know, when they keep saying there hadn't been an attack in 5 years on this country, well, there hadn't been one for almost 10 years prior to that. under Clinton.
Well, because then they just start yelling about the coal and the embassies and, you know, and it's not a law enforcement issue. Well, see, I guess that, it was a law enforcement issue.
But see, that wasn't on our shores. On our land, I mean, we've had a couple of terrorist attacks overseas under Bush. You know, it just hadn't happened here.
I know, he did the best. And the fact that he said twice, I tried and I failed. Think of how a really moral human being, how bad he must feel that he failed.
Exactly. And you got Bush who says he's done nothing wrong. He's made no mistakes.
That's right. When they asked him, he couldn't think of one mistake he made.
I mean, every time I see him on TV and I hear him say that, I just want to play Elvis and shoot the TV.
I know.
It pisses me off so
much. It's unbelievable. It's Clinton is so much a better person than Bush will ever be.
And I'd vote for him every election for the rest of my life if he could run.
Yeah, so would I. So would I. I'll tell you, they better watch out. If they decide they want Bush to have a third term, you know, these are the kind of people who'll be changing the Constitution. They better watch out, because they'll open it up so that Clinton can run again. Unless they make a law, you know, that says only Bush can run for a third term.
And I wouldn't put that past him.
I wouldn't either. Do you remember that Supreme Court decision that made him president in 2000? Do you know they specifically said, this is not setting a precedent. This is just for this one occasion. And the Supreme Court never does that.
Right.
But they did it for that Bush Gore thing. They said, no, this is like a one-time decision. What a load of crap.
Yeah, and then he had that dummy from Louisiana drive up. What was it, last month that he went out and he met with the guy? Wouldn't meet with anybody else, but he met with this guy who comes out and said that he wishes he could run again.
Yeah, but of course guy turns out he's a Republican. He had run for office as a Republican. That was all a setup.
Right, right. And I figured he was wealthy, too, because he got tax cuts, so.
Yeah, he must have been. I forgot about that part. He sure must have been. I didn't get my taxes cut.
Yeah.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, only the wealthy get the tax cuts. Oh, but Lynn, the wealthy are the ones who pay all the taxes. Tough shit. I have an article that I put up on my website. You all have to read this. It's called The Rich Get Richer. And it's from the American Conservative Magazine. The most interesting magazine in America. And I keep saying it's Pat Buchanan's magazine. And he's like the editor emeritus. I missed when he stopped doing it maybe when he was writing the book. Oh, God, I can hardly wait till Wednesday. We're going to find out if Jim fucking McGreevy sold any books. I can't imagine who would buy that man's book. Who? Who's interested? Who cares? Oh, God. Anyway, that's for Wednesday. I totally forgot what I was saying. The article. Okay. The Rich Get Richer. Now, it starts out like a regular sort of populist article pointing out how the majority of the middle class, our wages have not gone up at all. You know, 17%. The richest one-fifth of people, their money has gone up like, I don't know, 60%. You know, the same thing. We're losing the middle class. All the people on the Forbes 400, the richest people this year, for the first time, they're all billionaires. If you only have $999 million, you're nothing. You're a sack of shit. The Forbes, but this is the first year every person on his list is a billionaire. You know, but the middle class is not getting anywhere, and the lower class is not getting anywhere either. So, this article, written by a professor at Swarthmore College, which I presume is a liberal college, because aren't they all, writes how we have become a nation of consumers, and observers, you know, like we just like nobody participates in sports, you know, adults, you know, people just watch sports. And people don't participate in civic life anymore. So you would never have, like, an uprising of the people. People who hate the war, half the people hate the war. Does anybody walk out of the house to let anybody know? No. So there are no social movements anymore. No unions, less and less, fewer and fewer people belong to unions. No social justice movements. And what does this guy, I nearly, like, I don't, well, I couldn't say fall off the chair because I was on the subway. But I really was, like, so astonished reading this article. The closest thing to a social justice movement left in the world, according to this guy, this professor, is political Islam. Now, I'm not sure if what he's calling political Islam is what those nutty right-wingers call Islamofascism. But he says that the closest thing to an actual movement for social justice is political Islam. I think he means sort of like Hezbollah. You know, where they're like building schools and that they're taking over from all the social justice movements. What an amazing concept. But when you really start to think about it, you kind of say, yeah, that sort of is true, actually. But it's like, I don't know, it's a very odd thing to see. You know, I'm used to the American Conservative being the most anti-Iraq war magazine in the world, more so than The Nation or any left-wing magazine. But this was kind of astonishing to me to see somebody in this particular magazine, you know, just say that the only thing that could even pass as a social justice movement anymore is political Islam. By the way, you can't blame all the leaders of Islam for what these crazy people do, because Islam is apparently deliberately a non-hierarchical structure, which means you have like imams of their temples, right? A guy is the imam of his particular mosque. But they don't have anything like the Pope, who just tells everybody what to do. It's very non-hierarchical. So when everybody's yelling, why doesn't somebody tell them? There really is nobody to tell them. Because there's some old big argument going on in American Islam, mostly, about whether Ramadan, oh God, the things people get so upset about. Ramadan is supposed to start on the new moon or the full moon or something of whatever the particular month is. You know, I guess it's usually September, you know, but I guess their month. And you're supposed to see the moon, which means if it's like cloudy where you are and you don't actually see the moon, and then the clouds dissipate the next day. Like Ramadan can start with there's no clouds on one day. And then if it's cloudy, it'll start, 100 miles away, it'll start the next day. Because there's no one central authority in Islam to say to them, all right, it wasn't cloudy where I am, so everybody start now. Everybody decide. So there's a movement in America to figure out by, you know, charts when this moon is that starts, you know, to figure it out mathematically. The moon that starts Ramadan. And that way, you see, if they do it that way, they can get their days off from school. They can get the parking suspended, you know, in New York. I don't know. Does every city do that? It's very important in New York to have alternate side of the street parking suspended for religious holidays. And if they just figured it out by a chart, instead of actually looking at the moon, then, you know, you could get all these benefits, you know, from the cities. You know, your kids could stay home from school and not be penalized and whatever. But this is the whole big argument now in Islam. The traditionalists want to continue that you have to go up and look at the sky and see the moon. And the people who want alternate side of the street parking suspended for the holiday, they want to do it by a chart. And the problem is, there is no central authority in Islam to say you have to do it this way or that way. It's like every bunch of Muslims gets to decide for themselves. So that's why you can't have, like, the Pope of Islam come out and say, you people are giving us, like, a really bad name. Would you please cut it out? Because there is no Pope of Islam. All right? Now, I probably offended, like, every Muslim on earth. But this is how I understand the whole thing. I missed a break, right? I didn't do the break. Lynn Sam, hang on, you two people. Lynn Samuels, Series Left, 146.
Radio for the real defenders of the red, white, and blue. Real Liberals on Radio. Series Left, 146.
Here's the problem. You can't always meet with clients and colleagues in person, and conference calls alone just aren't enough. Here's your solution. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting, the easiest and most affordable way to hold meetings online. With GoToMeeting, everyone logs on to your meeting during your conference call so they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's like meeting in person, but less expensive and less time-consuming. With GoToMeeting, you can demo products, present, or train just like you're all in the same room. Since GoToMeeting has a low flat rate, meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Sirius subscribers can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the radio microphone, and use promo code Sirius. That's GoToMeeting.com, radio microphone promo Sirius. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. Try it free today.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that different. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-335-7600. That's 1-800-335-7600. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Tom Hartman, right after Alex Bennett and just before Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Look at that. The guy holding on for 4 minutes couldn't hold on, but Dave from Richmond could hold on for 17 minutes.
Did you happen to notice in the paper, we had another flood in Richmond, Battery Park. It was kind of like a mini Katrina. They had to bring in these outside pumps and pump the water out.
A couple of weeks ago, something was coming.
Right. Well, they approved federal funding in disaster relief, but only for businesses and state agency, and nothing for homeowners, which it just happens to be a predominantly black neighborhood. So nothing.
Gee. Now, what part of Richmond is this down? I was there for one weekend, so I only know, like down by where Edgar Allan Poe is, and that yuppie cafe. And that big flea market.
No, this is kind of like, it's, man, I would never be able to.
All right, it's not there, though. It's not there. Okay.
No, and it really, I mean, they spent all this money to keep it from flooding, but evidently there was something that was 80 feet down in the pipes that got backed up, and so they couldn't even clean it out because it was so deep into the system.
Now, this is, what year did you have that, I forgot his name, that big flood in not that long ago?
Gaston, just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right, so they tried to clean out the storm drains and stuff, but this was, I guess this one slipped by them because it was so deep. But I just find it funny that they just said, you know, as far as homeowners, you're on your own. You know, but the business...
Maybe they fit... Well, that's what they always do.
Really?
And they don't care about people. I mean, you'd think they would, but they don't.
Well, not to change the subject, but, you know, with New Orleans, did you see about the cleanup where they approved $23 a metric ton to clean it up? And I wish I had it in front of me, the companies that...
Oh, and then the way it goes down and down and down. You know, the company, the politically connected companies get all the money, and then they end up paying some guy $3 an hour.
$3 a metric ton. And then they wonder why it's not getting cleaned up.
And it isn't getting cleaned up. It is not getting cleaned up at all.
Right, because people are collecting money to clean it up and not doing anything.
That's right, because it's government. Because people act like government money is like free money. When
right.
In truth, it's your money and my money and their money.
Right, but it seems like the right is screaming about government, you know, being too big and spending too much money, but it seems like they're just at the trough.
Well, of course they are. Bush has increased the deficit. The deficit's now like, I don't know what, $5 trillion?
Yeah.
They're never going to pay it back. And then they're yelling, what did Bush said the other day at some Republican fundraising event, don't elect the Democrats, they'll raise your taxes. Well, he's bankrupting the whole goddamn country.
I swear, I really believe they want to so they can get rid of different agencies, government agencies that they
don't
like.
Oh, of course they do. Grover Norquist, you know, the big Republican theorist.
Right.
His big line is you want to take the federal government and shrink it until you can drown it in a bathtub.
Well, I think they're doing it.
Well, they're trying. Well, we need to take over Congress. Thanks, hon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, I thought Kinky Friedman was calling. Spare change.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't know if you heard him on Alex last week. Yeah, Alex did a little interview with him, and he said, you know, he asked Alex, he goes, guess where No Child Left Behind started?
Well, in Texas when Bush was governor, I would think.
Okay, and then he asked Alex, he goes, now, what ranking do you think Texas is in education in the United States?
It's probably about 46.
50th.
Oh, it's 50th? It's worse even than Arkansas? Jeez.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought New Mexico was even worse. I feel better living in New Mexico, you know? My kids are getting better educated.
Well, frankly, you have got such a great governor.
He is all right, but, you know, there's...
Where do you live? What is this thing with Las Cruces? That is the weirdest story I ever read.
Well, you know, actually, I live about 30 miles from Las Cruces, and they think it's store owners that weren't allowed. They had a big festival. I talked with somebody last night about that. It's called the Whole Enchilada Festival. Since store owners or restaurant owners weren't allowed to sponsor in there, they think it's beyond this book.
Oh, the story, for people who don't read my website, is the newspaper got this first letter in Las Cruces, New Mexico, saying, if you don't pay us, and they would never announce how much, you know, it was extortion, X amount of dollars, we are just going to start randomly shooting citizens. And also, you think it was people weren't allowed into the big enchilada festival?
Well, restaurant sponsors, that's what this guy
Well,
said.
It's not
going to
do them, I'll tell you, it's not going to do them any good if people ever find out it was store owners or restaurant owners.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. This was on the border.
It was probably some 15-year-old who had nothing to do.
Yeah, this is 20 miles from El Paso, you know, and that's right on the border. So, you know, I live north El Paso.
Just the weirdest story I ever heard, because I'm already going, oh, my God, now they're going to start, like, extorting every city in America. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty odd place to live. I mean, being that you're right on the border there, you know, you get all kinds, you know. It's kind of like New York City. I was going to say, how can you live there? How do you, where do you get food at? Do you go into them little markets there?
Where do you get food at? This for these big supermarkets.
Where? In New York, I was in Brooklyn. I didn't see a supermarket the whole time I was there.
Wow! I don't know Brooklyn very well, but where I live, there's like supermarkets all over. There are even supermarkets right in Manhattan.
Where were you?
What part of Brooklyn were you in?
Where was I? I was down on Atlantic in Pennsylvania right there.
Oh, there's supermarkets there.
Yeah, oh, maybe so. You know, I'm in a 70-foot truck, you know, so...
Exactly sightseeing.
No, you're not sightseeing.
Believe me, honey, you look around the streets of New York, we get our food somewhere because we're just as fat as everybody else.
Well, that's what I do. I bring y'all onions up there, you know, so you can see the plate
again. Well, the only... onions make me sick. I can't eat onions, so... I'm not even looking forward to you.
Well, don't buy them, you know.
Only Vidalia onions sometimes.
It's like pot, you know. I don't pour them down your throat.
You don't want it, don't eat it. Okay, thanks, son. Thank you. Your line is breaking up, and I have to take a break. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
For real liberal talk radio, this is Sirius Left 146.
This is Mike Fader, Sirius Left. My show is fueled by the callers. I feel like it's my job to connect with them. My whole idea about radio is that it's one person talking to another person, as if you were sitting in a bar or a restaurant or maybe on a park bench and you were having this intimate conversation with somebody else. I want people to think that I'm speaking just to them when I speak. I'm really happy and proud to be on the same station with my friend Lynn Samuels, who is the best there is, with Alex Bennett, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Ed Schultz, and Stephanie Miller. Mike Fader, Saturdays 5 p.m. East, 2 West, Sirius Left, 146.
Meet Ted.
Hello.
Ted's locked himself inside his car so he can enjoy his favorite Sirius shows all to himself.
Woo-hoo.
But there is a downside. His family really misses him.
We miss you, Dad.
I miss you too.
What Ted doesn't realize is that during our Hey, Get Your Own Sirius event, you'll get a free Sirius radio when you add another subscription at just $6.99 a month. And with a free radio for your home, you'll be able to spend some quality time with the whole family.
Daddy!
For more information or to order your free radio, call 1-888-SIRIUS-1. 1-888-SIRIUS-1. While supplies last, applies to sports to replay and StarMate replay models only. Requires purchase of an additional prepaid 6-month subscription, plus a home kit, boombox, or executive dock. Hurry. Offer expires Monday, September 25th. Call 1-888-SIRIUS-1. Sirius Satellite Radio, the best radio on radio.
Stephanie Miller, left-wing wacko, and proud of it.
Rocky, the poor Katrina survivor who drove his FEMA trailer to Washington on a hope and a dream. Yeah, I knew there was something suspicious. He didn't be able to afford the gas money to get up to Washington, just on the hope the president would meet with him. And it turns out, the president always has time for very successful Republican businessmen who've run for office.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 9 p.m. East, 6 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio. Sirius Left 146.
I'm on a day bed, but I don't have enough room. We're talking about, you never see a woman like in a recliner, do you? Why is that? Think about that. Hey, Patty went to a Republican meeting.
Oh, my God. I really felt like I was in, like, World War II before, when Hitler was trying to get ready to get all his little people in place.
Yeah, well, that's what we're living through. Yes, that's it.
The big headliner was Sean Hannity.
Oh, my God. Was this?
It's in Dallas, Texas this weekend, and we were invited.
Does he ever stay home?
Under the pretenses that it was a different kind of party, we got there. That crowd, there was not one black, one Hispanic, Asian, totally white. We stayed for a whopping 20 minutes. Sean Hannity got up there.
Were there any WAPs?
Well, in Texas, you know, but he got up there like an evangelist, like a Jerry Falwell, and he was pounding his fist saying, these Democrats are liars, and they're horrible, and President Bush never said this about 9/11 in Iraq, and these people were applauding, and I just thought to myself, we're sitting, why are we here? And B, these are talk show hosts. These aren't politicians.
That's right.
Why is this important? And we lasted about 20 minutes, and I walked out, and I was just like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe how brainwashed every person in the state of Texas, not every person, but the 600 people that were sitting in that room.
I just, you know, my first thought is this is a guy with a wife and two little children.
Uh-huh.
Why is he in Texas over the weekend?
Because it was supposed to be a fundraiser for the Heart Association.
Oh, Sean's very charitable, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Well, besides that, there was no free barbecue or free drinks. You had to pay for everything in there.
Well, but it was for charity.
Sure.
But it was only, the money would only go to the right ventricle and the right auricle of your heart. They wouldn't give any money to the left side of your heart.
It was just, I'm not kidding you, Lynn. I walked out shaking. I was like,
who else was supposed to be there?
Well, the AM guy down here, Mark Davis, he was.
Oh, the one who left his wife, who left his wife when she had multiple sclerosis, and he dumped her for some other chicky poo, right? That wonderful Family Values Mark Davis.
Yes, he was the host.
How does that guy stay on the air? Like, doesn't anybody ever say, what a sack of crap, you dumped your wife with multiple sclerosis?
I don't know. I walked in right when Sean Hannity came up, when Mark Davis was introducing him. That crowd, there were people on wheelchairs, Lynn, standing up.
Sean cured them.
I guess so.
Sean cured them. Oh, my God.
It was like, it was an evangelistic thing. And I looked at my husband. I'm like, these are not politicians. And look at this shapeless, stupid crowd. And I'm like, we've got to leave. I can't stand this.
Oh, God, I would have stayed.
I couldn't. It was the rhetoric and the propaganda was just beyond me.
Although I must say, it's not like I'm going to leave it. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm going to leave here and turn Sean on the radio. Because to listen to them talk about that interview that Clinton did is like living in another world.
And you know what? And Chris Wallace, or whatever his freaking name is that did that interview, you know, leave Clinton out of this. This is 6.5 years later.
But it's his fault. Everything is his fault.
Oh, you know what? That's
they didn't even find it. I'm surprised they didn't find a way that Katrina wasn't his fault.
No shit. I bet there's some way that those levees could have been fixed way back when.
Well, they actually probably could have.
Well, let's not go into that. but thank you, Lynn. And unfortunately, Texas is going to be red this year.
Okay, but Kinky isn't going
to
win?
I want Kinky to win. I got to meet him. And you know what? From down here, anything is better than what we got.
So the governor there really has no power, so it doesn't matter.
No, the lieutenant governor is the one we need to worry about.
Oh, okay. Thanks, honey.
Bye.
Bye. How can Sean? He's never home. There is something. They are such perverts at WABC. You have Sean with a wife and two kids who's never home. And so weekends, nights, whatever. And Curtis Sliwa, another one, with a wife, such as she is, and a kid. And he's every weekend. There's a guy goes to Hawaii for the weekend. Whoever wanted to talk about anthrax.
That's me.
That's you. Talk.
Do we have a couple of minutes?
Well, just talk.
Okay. I saw something on television that rang bells and alarms like crazy about this anthrax thing, and I tried to call the FBI. Okay, this is unbelievable. I live in Tennessee. I called the FBI. This was the Saturday before President's Day, whenever that is, just after the anthrax thing had happened, a few months.
Yeah.
I got a recording at the FBI office in Nashville, and it said to call the FBI office in Memphis. So I called Memphis. I got a receptionist, this little girl, who said, I said, I need to talk to an agent. Well, there are no agents here. I said, there's no agents there? She said, no, I'm the only one here. It was President's Day weekend, the Saturday before President's Day. She said, try calling, and it went on, but she said, try calling the office in Knoxville. So I called Knoxville. Same deal. I got a receptionist. She says, there's nobody here. There are no agents here. You can't talk to an agent.
What if she said, would like caught Osama bin Laden?
That's exactly what I was going to say. If I had said, Osama bin Laden is sitting in my kitchen, there was nobody to talk to. The girl in Knoxville was really nice. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I said, well, you know, look, I have this observation that I think is really pertinent to this anthrax thing. And she said, call back Tuesday. This was Saturday. They said, call back Tuesday. And I said, nobody's going to be there Monday? And she said, it's President's Day.
Oh, God.
This is the FBI. So then I called the FBI in Washington, D.C., and got the biggest chip-on-the-shoulder asshole.
Yeah, because they don't work
world.
On the weekends.
Or it's something about that culture there, you know, that it was like, you know, I'm having to work.
But you must. I mean, really, if you work for the FBI, you must get calls from every maniac in the world.
Probably. I guess so. But anyway, let me tell you what I saw. And then.
Well, I'll tell you something. You're going to have to call back tomorrow.
Oh, I know who it is.
for travel.
Camera, you're... +888 Plum Help or just go to plum.com anywhere, anytime, 24/7. 888 Plum Help, plumchoice.com.
Dark and mysterious 1 minute and red hot the next. Chocolate by LG has soft touch technology with a glowing touch sensitive keypad that lights up and reacts to your touch. It also features a rockin' MP3 player and VCast music on demand, camera, camcorder, and Bluetooth. With all this in a sleek, stylish, cutting edge slider phone, you'll instantly become a chocoholic. Don't say we didn't warn you. Chocolate by LG, exclusively at Verizon Wireless. LG, life's good.
Thousands of people have doubled, tripled, even quadrupled their income, not by working harder and not by working longer hours, rather by working smarter, by working from home.
I make as much as $25,000 a month. You didn't have to have, you know, some special training or anything like that.
Your whole life can change.
Our first year in a business, we did $78,000.
I found this incredible opportunity. Last month, I made over $14,000.
We'll guide and mentor you to a lucrative opportunity where you can make money right from your own home. As with any independent business, there are guarantees regarding income or success, and results will vary.
I started making an extra $5,000 a month, just very, very part-time.
I now make $5,000. $1,000 a month, and it's simple, fun, almost magical.
Go to SeriouslyExcited.com. Get started today and respond now. Oh, a free service. Go to Seriously.com. Seriously.com. That's
From the heart of America, the nation's number one progressive common sense rule. This is the
I want to get to the way. Very, very much. Came to the Midwest in 1975 and just couldn't go home because if George Allen had not gone to the West in a rural area where he thought there wasn't going to be any media, And if he had not made this comment about this website, the word macaca, none of this would have come up. But the fact is that when you do something, there's always going to be a news organization, a web page, somebody who wants to make a name for themselves, however you want to do it. There's a beast in a free media. We're all looking for a story. We're all going to go in to do something that somebody did. And this is exactly what Salon.com has done. They did some journalism. And I really think that the fact that George Allen made this horrific mistake, and this was, get rid of this. Get rid of it, folks. Doing it. He didn't recognize that could be viewed as an acceptable time of apology, of realizing mistake. For a couple of weeks until finally he made a contact with the kid. Siddharth, we had him on the program.